This morning, I'm going to return to that scripture that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're beginning with verse 11. I'll just give you an overview of the condition or the situations at that particular time with the prophet Elijah. Elijah was at, I would say, he was facing one of his greatest challenges, and he was at one of his weakest points. So you can see how this could really be a challenge or a problem, because he's at his weakest point, facing his greatest challenge. He had already defeated the prophets of Baal, and now the thing that was bothering him was the threat of Jezebel. And now the prophet was hiding in a cave. And I talked about that a few weeks ago. The prophet of God, but we see the man of God who had been so greatly used by God, now in a state of fear and in a place of hiding. But the Lord spoke to him in that place, and that's where we are starting here in the 19th chapter of verse of 1 Kings, verse 11. He said, "Then he, the Lord, said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." I want y'all to hear this like you've never heard it before. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us at this particular phase, ministry, phase in your life. Go out and stand on the mountain, where? Before the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, so that when you stand on the mountain, it is really saying that the Lord will in fact reveal himself as you stand. But watch what happened. And behold, the Lord passed by. Lord showed up. He passed by. And when the Lord passed by, things began to occur. A great and strong wind tore into, listen to me, put this in here, the other mountains, and broke those mountains, or the rocks. Not only the mountains, but the rocks were broken into pieces before the Lord. Did you hear something? The Lord, stand on the mountain, was the command. And when the command was given, the Lord passed by. And when the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks that comprised, that made up the mountain into pieces. But it happened before the Lord, the same place that you were to stand. Rocks have been broken before the Lord when you've been given the command to stand before the Lord. If God's presence will break up rocks, then what will happen to me if I was to stand before the Lord to obey his command? But then it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, after the wind, after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So I'm using as a title, From a Shout to a Whisper, as we look at the shout of protest, displeasure that's being displayed in our day and time. People are shouting. People are disturbed. I mean, we live in an environment where there's more displeasure than we've faced in our lifetimes. And understand, and I want you to, as we look at current events, we hear I don't know if you've been listening or watching the news. I watch and listen to the news because I believe we are to watch what's happening in the world, but at the same time, don't be so inundated by what's happening in the world. But we begin to look at what God is saying first, and then we contrast it by what the world is saying, because we are to provide an answer to the questions that the world is in fact asking. But the challenges of life will raise different questions in this day and this hour that otherwise would not be asked. And that's a good place to be, is when you're asking the right questions. But here we begin to see even entertainers like Kanye West, who you've been reading about, and you heard about the breakdown that took place with him when he began to vent on the stage and rant on the stage. But understand, I would venture to say, when people are desirous of doing more than the norm, or just what would be considered normal in our day and time, or it would be very disturbing. But how you express that disturbance oftentimes might not be appropriate. But at the same time, that disturbance could very well be from the Lord. And then we begin to look at even what happened in the election. Do you realize that President-elect Donald Trump won the election because people are disturbed with status quo politics? I'm not saying that I agree with whatever, but I'm just letting you know that we're living in a time of disturbance. But what you do with that oftentimes could very well be contrary to the will of God, but I want you to see the dissatisfaction, displeasure within systems that are existing today, how people are confused concerning direction that they are to take. And we talk about the masses of people are disturbed in this. And I would venture to say that confusion breeds confusion unless truth is introduced to the equation. Somewhere down the line, we have to introduce the truth. So in this, as we begin to look at what is happening, the Lord told the prophet to stand on the mountain. I want you to understand with this mountain that Elijah was told to stand on. He was saying, I'm giving you a platform. I'm giving you a platform before the earthquake, before the wind, before the earthquake, before the fire. I'm giving you a platform, and your platform is on the mountain that I have designated for you to stand on. So now, when the word went forth, then we began to see the disturbances occurring. Did you hear what I'm saying here? So now, in the natural, it would appear as if it would be impossible to occupy the platform that God had in fact given the prophet because of all the activity that took place after the word had been spoken. And here we are today. God has given us his word. Thus, he has given us a platform. We're to stand on the word of God. We're to stand on the promises of God. People, we're not to allow the disturbances that come after God has spoken to get us off base. But there are many people, after God has spoken, that will allow the winds of adversity to disturb them. And then the winds of adversity, which would be a disturbance, you would say, well, that's enough for me to retreat, for me to relent, to begin to go in a different direction. But that's not all that's going to happen. God has spoken, but now you have some wind. But after the wind, what's happening now? Earthquake. That even reinforces the fact that what we thought was the voice of God isn't the voice of God, because God wouldn't have me to stand on a mountain when there's wind and earthquakes taking place. God would not require of me the thing that's impossible to do. You've not given God enough credit. You've not understood how big and how great and how majestic our God is. Church, God has given us a platform. He told us to do something. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing today. That's, and understand, the attack that's taking place in the world is none less than the attack that's taking place within the church. This is a day where the enemy is saying something contrary to what God has said. And people are listening to the wrong voice, and they're allowing those voices to confuse them because they look at what would provide evidence to support a position to cause them to retreat. God says, stand on the mountain. What about the wind? I didn't tell you to allow the wind to distract you. I didn't tell you to allow earthquakes to distract you. Because after the wind, after the earthquake, guess what else came? Fire came. And then after the, and then when the fire came, you know, those that are ruled by circumstances, they allow circumstances to govern them, will say, that's all, that's it, that's the last straw. But after the fire, and I want you to know, there's always something after the fire. Fire, fire purges, fire destroys, but fire also purges. Oh, I want you to see what God is doing here. That fire that purges, that fire can work against us, but that fire can also work in our favor. Our God is as a consuming fire. I believe he's purging us. I think he's getting rid of some stuff that's in our lives. That's why we have winds to blow stuff away and earthquakes to shake some things up and fire to burn some things off of us. But after all of that has happened, guess what God does? He whispers, a still small voice began to speak. I would say that as we begin to look at what God is doing, let me just put it this way. He is saying that I'm going to raise up a people. Yes, I'm given a platform. I'm going to raise up a people that will be influential among influencers. This is what God is doing. I will make you influential among people who have influence. Did you hear what I'm saying? So what happens, he says, but in that you're to maintain a state of humility. Don't ever think that it's about you. You will still be behind the scenes operating, but you will operate as salt and light. Salt, if you see the salt, that's too much salt. And too much light blinds us. But when it infiltrates the food, it adds flavor to whatever we may be eating. What he says in the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 26, it says, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Did you hear what he said? This is prophetic. He says, many will begin to try to ease up to people that have influence. You want to be good buddies. You want to buddy up with folk that have what appears to be they have it really going on. You'd be surprised how many people compromise their standard just to get along with folk that they feel can move some things around or some that can give them some kind of favor. He says, many seek the ruler's favor. Many will begin to compromise their standard to be friends with people that's on the wrong side of the equation, wrong side of justice, wrong side of righteousness. And understand, in this day and hour, we begin to see so much compromise all around us, people who will compromise their standard just to win friends and influence people. But here, he says many rulers, many seek the ruler's favor. Many will begin to, you know, we saw it politically where people begin to say, well, this is what I stand for. This is what is right. I believe this, and this is the way I see you, and this is such and such and such. And then the person said, I'm going to offer you a position. You see, President-elect, I'll offer you a position. He says, so now, what do you say now? Let me see how I can rectify what I said and what I supposed to say now that we are supposed to be cohorts. So you begin to kind of squeeze this thing and manipulate it to make it say something otherwise. You follow? And don't just look at what's happening in this election. Let's look at what happens even when people try to protect their uses, try to protect our blackness. How many folk will compromise in order to maintain their blackness? Well, you won't think I have my black card if I would stand for this thing or that thing and the other. So therefore, I can't stand against this. I can't stand in favor of that, because if I did, you won't think I'm black enough. Now, our name changed to Cross Culture Church, and our objective is to see people from various cultures coming together, not losing the distinction of their culture, but at the same time, seeing their culture raised to a level whereby now is raised to the standard of Christ, and we begin to see cultural diversity, but spiritual unity. But let me tell you something, but we're not doing it at the state of compromise, at the expense of compromise. We're not going to compromise to try to get white folks to come among us. We're not going to compromise trying to get people of various cultures, Chinese or whoever, to come among us. We realize we're not the dominant culture, so therefore, to some, it would appear as if it's an emotion to be here. But watch what God is saying. I mentioned earlier on, He's going to give influence to His church so that we will be able to influence influencers. But watch what I'm saying here. He said, but many seek the ruler's favor. If a person is already in power and you're trying to get in with those that's in power or appear to have power, watch this. You just lost your stand with God. But he says, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Now we begin to see righteousness and justice. We begin to see left wing and right wing and the divide that's taking place politically. And then they say, well, we believe in righteousness. The left said, we believe in justice. And I say it all the time, justice not just without righteousness, and righteousness not righteous without justice. So when you stand between, you see, it said the priest is to stand as in the time of controversy, they're to stand as judges. The Bible says that. So now watch what happens. You're standing between the left and the right. You're standing between left wingers and right wingers, but you're standing as a priest. So you're not taking sides. Do you follow this? But now you're in the strangest position, because now black folk will think you ain't black enough. White folk will say, well, you're not standing for righteousness or taking a strong enough stand enough. So what are you? Are you for this? Are you for us? Are you against us? Somebody else stood that position too, wasn't it? It was the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts when he stood there. Are you for us or against us? They're asking that question to us. Are you for us or against us? Are you Republican or are you Democrat? Are you right wing or are you left wing? And when you stand between those two opinions, you say, wait a minute, neither. He says, I am the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. I stand for the Lord. And if the right has something of God on their side, if the left has something of God on their side, guess what? Then we champion those causes. But watch this. But then in standing there, we also expose the fallacies that exist on both sides. We say, you're both wrong. He said, how could you say we're both wrong? You know, you can't find true righteousness in right-wing politics. You can't find true justice in left-wing politics. What does the Bible say? But justice for man comes from the Lord, and he is our righteousness. Let me go on now, because I got many things to share here. But in the book of Daniel, listen to what he says. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel 22, verse 20, he says, Daniel answered and said, he's talking about the Lord, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He said, for wisdom and might are his. So you got a platform now. Wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. And watch what he does. And he changes the times and the seasons. We're in a different season now. You follow? New administration coming in, we began to see even the change of seasons from fall to winter. See, all of these changes are not coincidental. When we see shiftings occurring and all of these things are happening because God has there's a method in all this madness. There's something God is up to that people don't fully understand. And oh, I plead with my congregation, by all means, I want you to seek God for understanding of my heart and what God is trying to say to us. Because if not, if you misread what God is saying to us, guess what? You cannot be a part of what God is wanting to do among us. He has given us a platform, and that includes you. You're part of that. So you can't afford to be dragging around and missing out on what God has provided for you. But he says he changes times and seasons. We are entering into a new season, y'all. The old season is passing. The old season is passing. But you say, well, wait a minute. We still see certain things still, same thing, same old, and whatever. But the season is changing. See, the wind that's blowing, the earthquake that's occurring, the fire that's burning is a part of a change of season. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The day will come when what I'm saying to you right now is going to make more sense than you could ever believe. And you're going to wonder, why was it so difficult for me to understand it then? One time a member told me that. It was years ago. She came to the church. She was a student when she first came. And she said, you know what? She said, Pastor, every time you preach, she said, I sit there and everything you say, it's just over my head, over my head, over my head. I can't understand anything you're talking about. So she left. She said, I have to find a place where I can get something out of the teaching. So she left and went to a church, another church. And she got there and she stayed there. And, after a while, she went to college. She went through college, graduated, working a job. And then she decided, she said, the Lord began to deal with her heart. So she came to the church, visited. And this time the word, same message, was impacting her life. So she came back and she said, you know what? She said, for all these years, I was praying that you would preach a message that I could really believe and could accept and could make sense to me. And she said, now that I've come back after all these years, she said, you know, finally, you're preaching a message that makes sense to me and I can believe and now I can accept it and embrace it. And she said, but you know what? She said, when I really think about it, she said, the message is a little different than what you were preaching back then. She said, it wasn't so necessarily your changing, but she said, she changed. You see, what happens, you know, when I was growing up, I'm kind of going off into something. When I was growing up, you wear clothes and I'm 3 or 4 years old, but guess what? I'm in a growing spurt. So if you buy the clothes just to fit a three-year-old, in a matter of weeks, I'm going to outgrow the clothing, right? So what do? You buy clothing that's a little bit too large for the child that you're buying the clothes for. Why? Because your objective is for that child to grow into the size that you purchased. You follow, and that way you buy clothes every 3 or 4 weeks. Because if that child is in a growing spurt, you buy clothes that's a little bit larger. Now, when you get my age, it's a whole different story, huh? but you buy it a little bit larger because they grow into the clothing. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you a word for you to grow into. But if you're not interested in growing, guess what? You will dismiss the very thing that will contribute to your spiritual growth and development. So now, look what he says here. He said he changes times and seasons. But not only that, we begin to see times changing and seasons changing. We talk about times, we talk about eras, and things that are in vogue, things that are popular today, but they're no longer popular tomorrow. You understand this? That's why, if anything, we want to make sure we get a good foundation, that we are rooted and grounded in him. And we're not people that will just go after every wind of doctrine or whatever's popular at any particular time. But understand this, because it will change. But here's what he also does. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He does it. He gives, but you understand, he will put somebody in power today, but he removes someone that's in power today, put somebody else in power tomorrow. You see, but the Lord is saying, I did it. I did it. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, I know it didn't make sense to you. He said, I did it. I did it. Yes, I'm looking at more than you're looking at. I'm not saying I did it in such a way that everything that they do is pleasing to me and that this is my ultimate will in relation. He said, but based upon where you are right now, based upon where we are right now, I will position this thing to happen, but I have a plan that extends far beyond what you're seeing right now. We talk about a platform. They're going to need this more tomorrow than they've ever thought possible. So now, he removes kings. He raises up kings. But he didn't stop there. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Did you hear this? He gives wisdom. You would think, you would say, he gives wisdom to the dumb. He didn't say that, did he? He gives wisdom to the wise. He that hath more shall be given. But he that hath not, even what he has shall be taken. You follow? You have to have something to get something. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to add to that. I'm going to give you my blessings. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do some things because, understand, within you, you're able to accept. You're able to receive the knowledge of God. You're able to receive the wisdom of God. You're smart enough to receive God's wisdom, and you're smart enough to know that you don't know everything. That's wisdom to the wise. Wisdom to the wise is, you're wise, what it said, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm smart enough to know that God is bigger than anything and anybody. He's tougher than anything and anybody. He gives wisdom to the wise. And then, not only that, he gives knowledge to those who have understanding. If you have degree of understanding, and all that getting it understanding, and God will add to that. So he says that that's what God does. So understand, when he does that, he is bringing us to a place. He said, it is the wisdom that you are receiving now that will be added to. Let me see if I can help you understand that. See, what God is doing, even right here and now, he is speaking in such a way so that you're able to navigate, you're able to navigate to a particular place based upon where we are right here and right now. But let me tell you something, that's not the end of the journey. There's some more that God desired to give you because there's some more challenges you're going to face. But just like he gave you wisdom to handle this to get to that place, he'll give you wisdom to handle whatever else come your way. He gives wisdom to the wise because you've learned now to trust him. You've learned now to depend upon the Lord. That wisdom that you received is enough to trust him. What am I going to do? I'm facing a situation I've never faced before. I'm facing a challenge that's greater than me. I've never seen this happen in my lifetime. The Lord said, just like I handle, think about, reflect now upon what I did in the past. This thing that you're facing is not impossible to me. I'll handle it just like I handle everything else. That's the kind of God we serve. Oh, we're going to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. God's going to start building upon us. Let me tell you something. And a lot of stuff people call faith ain't faith. It's manipulation. It's trying to get God to bow down and to subject themselves to their wills. But let me tell you something, true faith is when we can trust God to be God. Okay, you still with me? I didn't lose you. Let's look at Solomon, King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, this is a king now. He's a guy that he looked at himself and he was made king at a young age. He's following a mighty king, his dad his dad David. And now here he goes. He said, therefore, the Lord is making him, he asked for something. He said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. The Lord said, ask me what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. So instead of asking for silver or gold or whatever, he said, I ask you to give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now I prayed that. I remember when I was, I think this was before I was in ministry. I would be about 8, 9 years old. I remember laying in the bed, and I was on the cot, living in a bed. I was in the couch that led out to a bed. That's what it was. And I was laying there, and I said, Lord, I read the scripture. I said, Lord, give me, I want that. I remember begging God. I said, I want that understanding of heart. What does that mean? What does that mean? I was 8, 9 years old. And God began to say, he said, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you. But here's this guy's going to take on the responsibility of a king. And he's saying, Lord, what I want to be able to discern. I want to be able to, first of all, judge your people. Now, listen to what he's saying here. I want to be able to judge your people. I want to have sound judgment. And in this day and hour, we must have sound judgments. You know, it's the most dangerous thing is to be in a place where you can't make a decision. You don't know where to go, what to do, or who to go to show you what to do and where to go. You see, I don't know where to go and what to do, but I know who to go to. So now, listen to this. He said, so Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me a heart of discernment. I want an understanding heart. And understand what he means by this. Give me a heart, first of all, that I understand and know you. And then as a result of that, in understanding and knowing you, I can speak your position in relation to any given subject. This is God's position in relation to what's happening today, what's happening is ours. Let me tell you something. I trust that even as you're hearing the word of God, that is bringing, it's a soothing, relieving that's taking place in your hearts, because you're getting a deep understanding of what's happening in our day and time, in this very hour. You see, those who have this, those that, I'm getting ahead of myself, if you already have the Spirit of Christ and you're at a place where you have joined yourself to this ministry, you follow what I'm saying? Then you're getting something that an outsider isn't getting. A spectator can't get that. But it is out of covenant that you have this understanding. You follow? So let me go on. But our covenant with the Lord and our covenant with one another bring us to a greater level of understanding. Let me help you understand that even all the more, is that even in marriage, and I always use marriage because you understand Christ in the church, he actually illustrates the relationship. A husband can be misjudged by the world, but his wife knows things about him that the others don't know. The same thing, vice versa. The husband knows things about the wife others don't know. So when the person will misinterpret the heart of the other, that person says, I care to differ with you. Why? Because I know a side of him or her that you don't know. Am I making any sense? I know a side because now I'm understanding, and I'm getting to this thing about understanding the emotions of Christ, the heart of God, you see, the emotions of God. Now, look what he says here. He said, I want to understand and will give you an understanding heart so that your heart is aligned with mine, that I can judge, that you can judge or understand to discern justice between good and evil. He says, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Yours. Who is able to judge this great people of yours? Great people of yours. Oh, let me tell you something. Pastoring isn't an easy job if you're doing it in your own strength. Great people. You're great people. You that have given your hearts and lives to the Lord. You're great people. Who am I to judge the great people that belong to the Lord? I got to be careful that I'm not imposing upon you my opinions, or trying to manipulate you to do something that would be favorable to me. We can't use the pulpit as a political platform in order to support a candidate because of some kind of secret deal that you might have made with the person that's running. Am I making any sense here? Why? Because they do not belong to me. You do not belong to me. You belong to the Lord, and I'm a steward. So what am I doing? I'm helping you to understand the heart of the Lord. Now, who am I to judge this great people of the earth? But he did say, I'm not to judge. You ought to discern the difference between what is right and wrong. Right after, we begin to see where he had to make a judgment call in relation to a child. One had given a child and given birth to a child. The other person didn't give birth, but she's going to try to trick the person as if it's her child. Her child died. So Solomon said, I tell you what, dude, bring the child to me. What am I going to do? I'm going to take this knife here, sword, I'm going to cut the child in half, and I'm going to give half to you, half to the other. So the real mother cried out, no, give it to her. And then that was evident that the child belonged to the mother that's willing to give the child away, because she was more concerned about the child's life than possessions. See, I must be more concerned about your life than my own possessions. Are you hearing something? Living large, I must be concerned about your life than what I can possess as a result. So you can't be involved in manipulation. So now let's look at what happens. So the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself. Now that's first thing you'd ask. Lord, let me live a long time. I don't want to die too soon. You didn't ask for that. Nor have you asked for riches for yourself. Nor have you asked the life of your enemies. That's why we put this sign up. Others, and understand this. That confused some folk because they said, I come to church for me. And guess what? Many of them will begin to take their selfishness out because they said, you really meant this thing, didn't you? You really meant others, that I'm to live a sacrificial life. What about me? Pastor Greg Smith, he showed us at his anniversary, he put his sign up. He's a spiritual son. He put his sign up. He said, let me show you how connected we are. He has a big sign, same color, others. I said, well, I'm so glad that now the sons are picking it up. I want that to be our motto. I want that to be something that we continue to express, that it's not about us. We're about the world. Thank God for Pastor Catherine that's going to Ivory Coast, because what happens when she go there, she's ministering to others. When the group came back from Brazil, they went to Brazil to minister to others. We must be at a place where we're willing to inconvenience ourselves. That's why I was saying early on that you need to go out and get one person that you love enough that you want to see get the message that you're getting. If this is, in fact, the word of God, don't you think there's some people that need to hear it besides yourself? And you know what? Be persistent with it. If you just mention it to them, Sunday's coming up, and if you'd like to come to church, I sure like for you to come with me. Because that's too generalized. That's too general. But when you begin to play, say, look, let me share with you where I was and where I am now and what God is doing in my life and has done in my life and how the difference is being made in my life as a result of what I've received. And when you begin to give expression to the change, and it's not just words, they see the change occurring in your life will be convincing to others. And the best I can do, you must become that written epistle. As I'm ministering to you, I want to see some fruit. I want to see you bear fruit as a result of what's happening in your own lives. If you're growing, I want to see that growth affect the lives of others. Are you hearing this? And it can happen next week. It can happen tomorrow, where the challenge can be of such that people will want what you've received. Let me finish this because I want you to see. Because he said you didn't ask for these things. what I'm going to do for you, what I'm going to do for you, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. I gave what you asked for. See, I have given you. See, it's done already. I've given you a wise and understanding heart. You have it. So that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I've also, listen, and I've also given you what you have not asked. Look at God. He's so generous. I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. I'm going to give you the stuff you didn't even ask for as a bonus, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. But here's the condition. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will also lengthen your days. I'll give you a long life, but you got to live up to my standard. Now, let me just move on because I want you to see what we're dealing with. We're dealing with our day. I did a message called Blurred Lines. Remember that? And I did it from the song. Remember the song, Blurred Lines? Blurred Lines. And the rhythm is so catchy that somebody hear it. I go to store. I was in a store one time, and they were playing the song Blurred Lines. And this guy was waiting on me. We'll make a cash transaction. He said, excuse me. He said, my song is playing. So he did a little dance. He said, now, what were we talking about? He said, now we can finish the transaction. He said, but when you hear that song, just get into moving. They get into moving. So, and when you hear it, it's so catchy that it would do just that until you pay attention to the words. And then you begin to realize that it's an anthem of our day of compromise, crossing the line and the like. So we see these gray areas that are existent in the world today. So therefore, discernment is necessary. We need a discerning heart. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, he helps us understand this thing of discernment. He said in 3:18 of Malachi, then you shall again, did you hear this now? You shall again. When it says you shall again, it said that you had lost your discernment. But you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Did you hear this? You will get back to that place where you are able again to discern between the righteous and the wicked. But in this particular day, blurred lines, the distinctions are being blurred. So people can't see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The church is becoming more worldly, and the world is becoming more churchy. Isn't that something? We were listening even the other day. I just saw the news this morning. Aretha Franklin doing the Star Spangled Banner. Did y'all hear about that? When she got them, oh, say, and when she got through with that thing, I'm certain some sisters lost their wigs. They were shouting so hard because she threw down on that. The person saying it said, you could go cook your meal and you could have gone. And that's what he said, fix the food, cleaned up and everything else. At the length of time that it took her to sing the Star Spangled Banner, he said, but she, it was epic, they called it, because of how eloquent she did it. But she did it very churchy. And I'm certain somebody here, those notes, man, those notes can cause something to happen inside of you, don't it? Make you want to shout. But I'm just letting you know that you follow the orientation, or the people that oriented towards sound alone would have heard that and probably broken to that. Let's have a praise. Let's get a, what do you call it? A praise break. We're going to have a praise break now. And it was a star. It was, oh, say, can you see? I had a joke on that. I'm going to leave it, though. But understand, discerning the difference between serving God and not serving him. What does it mean to serve God? Oh, you're going to help people understand what it means to serve God. Now, let's go on. Discernment. I want to stay there for a moment. This is what it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 54. Then he also said, they said, show us a sign. And then he also said to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, oh, we need this today, don't we? A shower is coming. When we see a cloud, a shower is coming. And you know what? You're right. So it is. When you see those clouds rising out of the west, and when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. You're right. But then he says, hypocrites, he said it loudly, exclamation, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. You can even predict what's about to take place, precipitations and all of that. But how is it that you cannot discern this time, what's happening right here and what's happening right now? So as we look into what God is doing here, we begin to see, going back to the scripture, all of these things were happening not against the prophet. You know, we talk about the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. It was not against the prophet. God was saying, I'm putting on display my power that's working for you. This is what's working for you. But when you're not listening or reading the signs right, you will misinterpret what is happening. But let me tell you what God did with the prophet. God whispered to him. He didn't shout at him, he whispered. When God whispers, it's saying that you can discern the message of his whisper. But you must, you can most definitely hear and understand when God is shouting. But when God whispers, you see, that's how he does with servants. He don't shout at us. He whispers. You got to hear me now. See, God whispers to us. Those that are mature enough, he doesn't have to shout to get your attention. All it takes for the sensitive is a whisper. Is a whisper. If God to walk up and just say, he called your name, John, Sue. You see, what happens, you have grown such accustomed to his voice that whenever he speaks, it will attract your full attention. You follow? So God whispers to the prophet. Why? Because he had heard his whispers in the past. God didn't shout to him and tell him how to fight, how to deal with opposition. All God had to do was whisper in his ear. He said, go to the left. Go to the right. The enemy's coming. Elijah, watch out. Elijah, I hear you, Lord. See, all this loudness all around him, he's listening to God's whisper in the midst of all the noise that's taking place around him. Oh, you got to hear me. And you can interpret or discern his message. When you see what is currently happening, determine what is God saying. I would say God speaks to us in a conversational voice. A conversational voice, because we come into that level of intimacy with him. Stay with me just a little bit longer. I want you to see something here. This is going to be worth your while now. Here in Exodus chapter 33, verse 9, it says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And here's what happened. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. That's all they saw. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his own, in his tent door. So they saw the pillar of, they saw that pillar of cloud. But listen to what happened. And when they saw that, they went to their tent door to worship. But watch what happened. So the Lord didn't just give a sign to Moses, but he spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend, to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. But I want you to see what God did with Moses. He talked face to face. He whispered to him, Moses, this is what's happening. This is the deal. You see, the pillar of cloud is out there that I gave them so that they'll know when to worship. And when you instruct them, you know, I'm telling you what it's all about. You tell them whenever they see that, this is what they're to do. And when they see this thing, this is what they're to do. I'm giving you instructions, Moses. Are you hearing me? Moses said, look, I'm all ears. You see. So he talked to him as he would speak to a friend. And then you go all the way down to the 18th verse. And finally, Moses gets to the place where Moses said, man, I like this. God, we can just talk like friends. We can just communicate and converse with one another. He said, Lord, you know what? And you say all these things to me that's personal. He said, I'm going to ask you something. He said, Lord, please, show me your glory. Oh, we're getting so tight. Church. Look at intimacy. Show me your glory. Then he said, Moses, you know, we talking. He said, whispering. He said, what I'm going to do for you, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Wait a minute now. Did you see something when he passed before Elijah? What happened? We begin to see the wind, what? The earthquake and the fire. But now the Lord is passing. He said, but this time I'm going to allow my goodness to pass before you. He said, not only that, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. He said, I'm going to allow my goodness, I'm giving you a promise, my word is spoken. I'm going to allow my goodness to pass before you, and my name will be declared before you. They will know that we're connected, that we're tight. Because now you're going to understand my name. He says, and not only that, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He said, but you will know the ones I will have compassion on. You'll know the one I'm being gracious to. He said, but Moses, that's one thing. He's still whispering to him. But let me tell you something, Moses. He said, you can't see my face, though. For no one has seen my face and lived. He said, but Moses, but because you asked this, because you want this level of intimacy, it is before your time now. The time will come when you will see my face. But in the meantime, since it's in your heart, to want to know me to that level, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to let you see something that nobody else has ever seen before. The Lord said, what am I going to do? He said, here, right here, in this mountain, here's a place that I'm going to put you in. He said, I got a place for you in this mountain. Why did it show up? He said, because God foreknew that the time would come when the request would be made. He said, here's the place. Turn around. Just like he said, there's that ram caught in the bush. He said, here's your place right here. Now I'm going to show you your place, but I want you to stand on the rock. Stand in the place that I showed you. Just like he told the prophet. I want you to stand on a mountain. I want you to stand on a rock. Wait a minute. That says something. Who is the rock? Oh, I'm getting excited now. I'm ready. Listen to this now. He says, stand on the rock. So it shall be if you keep standing on the rock. Stand on the rock. He said, so it shall be as you stand on the rock. While my glory passes by. The glory is God's intent, past, present, and future. All, you see, I'm going to allow my glory to pass by. He said, but what I'm going to do, that I will, but I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand. The hand of the Lord will cover you. I'll place you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand. The power of God will cover you. He said, and while you're covered, I will pass by. All that I am will pass you by. He said, but understand this. I told you, can't nobody see me and live. But when I pass by, after I pass by, I will remove my hand. And when I remove my hand, you shall see my backside. You will see where I was. When you see where I was, you will be able to recall things that you never seen. You didn't see it, but you can recall it as if you've seen it. But my face you should not see. Now, listen what he did here. When he did it and he passed by, look at what Moses began to do. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The earth was without void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Where were you, Adam? Where were you, Moses, when all that happened? The Lord has passed by. In the beginning, and understand, he called the water, he divided this, and he did that, and he did all the Pentateuchs. He began to write and write and write all of the things about God. Where you get it from, Moses? How would you know all about creation? How would you know all those things? How would you know all that stuff that preceded your existence? The Lord passed by and left something with him. He left the recall. He left the information in the heart of the prophet. So that all he had to do is to write what was impressed within his heart. Listen to what God wants to do with us. I can't leave you there. I can't leave you there, though. So now he reiterates what he had first commanded, because God does shout now. That's his law. It's not a revised version or a modified speech, but it's the sameness of his word. When Moses, you begin to go to the 34th verse of Exodus, and the Lord said to Moses, he said, after the Lord had to shout, he said, now, cut. When he shouted, he gave command. He shouted his command. That's the law. And then after he had done it, he reiterated the loud voice of God. He said, cut two tablets of stone. He's talking. He said, and like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which were broke. So be ready in the morning and come up to the mount of Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain, and no man shall come with you. Come by yourself, because you don't want to talk to. He said, because now I got some stuff. I need to put some law into place now. He said, so when you come to him, you understand, you carry my passion when you get there. He said, let no man seen throughout all the mountain, let neither flock nor herd. It goes on and on. So he cut the tablets, and he came down to proclaim the name of the Lord, our God. And he said, visiting iniquity of the father from the children third. All of this was a law, the law. Then you came near. I'm going fast because I'm going to close out. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. Then they came near and stood at the foot of the mountain. Watch God now, the law. And the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but you saw no form. Oh, this is so good. You saw no form, but all you heard were words. You only heard a voice, but it didn't make any sense to you. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. So Moses is shouting because God said, I want you to reiterate what you said the first time. That's the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and judgments that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. But understand, this is different from the burning bush phenomena, because when the bush was on fire, the Lord spoke through the bush. And it wasn't loud. He just told him, Moses, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. But now he's shouting. He's speaking to Moses, but he told Moses to shout it out. Strange and fearful things happen, but we cannot hear a message through it. God had to use Moses to deliver the message to you. So strange stuff is happening. Can't hear it, but listen to our day, and I'm closing. The whisper of his grace. I just wanted to cover that. He whispers the whisper of his grace. He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall not ever perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. 15 and 14, John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. But now, let's go back to the shout. Wisdom, Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom shouts aloud, raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. All that opens up the gates, openings of the gates in the city. And she speaks her words, and she cries out. This is a cry, a plea, a pity. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. But you see the difference between God's shout and his whisper. I would say when we surrender our hearts to the Lord, he doesn't have to shout to us, but he whispers, because we have grown accustomed to his voice. We have his spirit on the inside of us. But when we have become hardened and calloused, the law, don't think the law has passed in that particular regard. He didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. Did you realize that there are people that are still under the law? Because they're not applying the grace of God, the provisions, Jesus coming and sacrificing his life for us is not being applied in many people's lives. So the law is there to condemn them. But I'm closing by telling you that the provisions have been made for your life, for you to receive the benefits of salvation. You don't have to be spoken to loudly. The world is shouting now. The situation, circumstances around us are shouting. And the Lord is whispering to his servants. While they're howling and screaming and shouting, stand on the mountain. Stand on the mountain. He is saying to you, do I have to say it any louder than this for you to stand on the mountain? Is my whisper enough for you to realize that you have a platform now? Stand on the mountain. And when you stand on the mountain, guess what? My spirit will manifest. I will show my power on your behalf. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your whisper. Whispering to your saints. And thank you for the shout of the law to the lawless. Those, O Lord, that need correction beyond the whisper. May they realize the consequences of sin. May they come to understand all the more that you've not relented, you've not changed your mind in relation to sin. So that, Lord, none of us will be subject to the penalties of the law, but realizing that those things have been nailed to the tree through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. So, Lord, I thank you for what you have spoken to us today. And, Lord, I pray that none of us will remain the same. Either we're under the law or we're under grace. But, Lord, may we take full advantage of the provisions that you've given us under grace. Draw by your Spirit the wayward. Those, O Lord, that are trying to manage life on their own. May they, those that have your Spirit not be afraid of the winds, earthquakes, and the fire. But realizing that the destruction that's coming upon the world as a result of your judgment is working for our good. Because you're going to purge and purify the house, Levi. You're going to have a people that's going to be spotless, pure. So we thank you for it. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship the Lord, this is a time where if the believers aren't busy doing the work of God, this would be a time of, I would say, the returns would be less than ever before. Because the enemy know that his time is short. This should not be the time of diminishing returns. It should be a time of advancement. We didn't call this a year of diminishing returns. We said this is a year of kingdom advancements. Don't rename it. Don't speak other than what God has spoken. I'm not just saying with your mouth, saying with your lifestyle. You heard the prophetic word spoken. Who are the people that we're to be ministering to? How are we giving our lives for the sake of others? How are we identifying with Christ so that he might be seen in this generation? So I would say, as we're coming close to the end of 2016, the year of kingdom advancement, that we as the people of God, we have a lot of time this year to provide evidence that we've heard God speak when he whispered. But it's still not too late. It's not too late. The Lord is still whispering. But if we keep missing out on those opportunities, if we do not seize the moment, you follow? Then would it require God shouting at us? Would it require the elevation of his voice to say again what he had said beforehand? Because we've become hard of hearing, hearts closed. So today, I want you that are saved, you that are born again, and I would venture to say, and I'm not saying this as negative, I learned something some time ago, you speak the truth, but you speak the truth in love. There'll be some of you that is hearing the word, but you're still not hearing yet. But I'm praying that you start hearing it. I'm praying that today will be a day that those that did not hear will hear like they've never heard before. But Jesus would say that. Paul would say, but even some, he said, some will turn away, some will do this, and some will do that and the other. And that's still true today. But I'm saying, don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Let your commitment be solid. Let your commitment be strong in the things of God. So if you're here and you say, well, you need to come forward, you say, look, you want to finish well, you want to finish this year well, then just come to the altar, say it to the Lord, say it to him. Commit that to him, even now. If you're not saved, you want to give your heart, your life to the Lord, then come and stand before me now and let that happen. Come and surrender your heart, your life to him. But the others are saying, you want to finish well. You want this year. You want advancement to occur. You want that to happen in your life. And you realize that you don't have but another month in order to provide that evidence. Then you come to the altar and say it to him and commit your ways unto him right now. So let's do it as we worship.